Welcome back, Junkies. Coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980. Why do people hate on Creed? That's a banger.
Well, they must hate hits. Radio-friendly, just catchy hits.
For some reason.
Who hates on Creed?
A lot of people.
Not this person.
Millions and millions, because they just think they're cheesy.
Not the guy sitting right here. I can tell you that. Fully embrace them. Wrap my arms around Scott Stapp and company.
They used to feel that way about Nickelback, too.
Oh, yeah.
And I love Nickelback.
Nickelback has done is sell millions and millions of albums, toured around the world, and made probably $100 million.
Well, didn't also the hardcore metal guys used to hold it against Metallica? Right? They were...
Because they feel like Metallica sold out at one point.
Right.
Like, with the success of the Black Album and after that. That's fine. You can criticize them, but last time I checked, they played Northwest Stadium, and there were about 60,000 people there.
Yeah, man,
I don't think they care.
They're
doing just fine. Yeah. It's okay.
All right, I see Grant is on. Maybe we're trying to get him on another, but we're going to have him on the phone line here.
All right, so, GP.
Of course, he's been out there a bunch. He's grinding, putting in that work. GP, what's up, buddy?
Gentlemen, greetings from the practice field. How are you?
Hey, how are you, pal?
What's it looking like out there with all the fans?
Yeah, set the scene for us right now.
Yeah, it's very hot. They've moved practice up for now three straight practices, and I think four overall since they started 1 hour. So the original plan was that Dan Quinn was going to speak at 8:30. Practices would be at 9. But just because of the heat out here this week, he's been speaking at 7:30. Practices have been at 8. Yesterday was a full open day for all fans. Now, you had to claim tickets, and there was kind of a lottery that went down. You couldn't just show up. Today is a season ticket holder only fan day. So it's a much smaller crowd, but the bleachers are still filled in. There are still fans kind of lining the sideline areas here. So it's good energy, man. When they get the fans out here, it really does change things. You know, you guys are old enough to remember when training camp used to be a month long and there were two-a-days.
Yeah.
This is my 26th training camp coming out here, and every year there's fewer and fewer practices. In fact, Washington only has three truly open practices, six if you count season ticket holders only, one of the fewest totals in the National Football League. So I think it's a real bummer. It's kind of a league trend. It's a team trend. I think it's a bad look, but now, other than that, getting fans out here just adds a little spark, adds a little juice. You can see the guys fed off of it yesterday.
Grant, compare and contrast the scene now with like 3 or 4 years ago, the dying days of the Dan Snyder era. We remember seeing some of the pictures from training camp where there was just
nobody there.
It looked like a dirty bomb went off at the facility. There was just no interest. Apathy had set in. And now it's like, you better get that ticket online or you're not going to get in.
Yeah, it's night and day. There was actually a pretty viral picture. I think maybe Nikki Javala of the Post a few years ago, where there was like one guy in a folding chair.
Yeah, I remember that.
By himself on a hill.
Yep.
And it was so embarrassing. The team, part of the reason maybe you scale back some of the fan access at that point was the apathy had set in so much that there wasn't enough interest. Like the supply and demand didn't work to just have practices open and there were a few dozen people at a time would come out, a couple hundred maybe by the end of a practice, something like that. But now you're talking about thousands. And I don't want to downplay yesterday. I mean, it really was jammed. Getting into the facility was brutal all the way down Loudoun County Parkway. It was almost like, opening day at an amusement park or something like that. But I do think, when I saw a lot of the reaction to the crowd and everything, you got to remember that there's only three open practices, too.
Right.
So you're going to crowbar a lot more people into the facility on those 3 days than if you – we're spreading out. A lot of fans had the choice to go to like 20 different practices. So I think that's a big part of why it was packed to the gills yesterday.
Grant, any thoughts on, from the reports at least, the guys that are out there, the defenses maybe had a little better of it the last couple of days. There might have been a day there where Jaden struggled a little bit, maybe had more interceptions than he typically would, something like that. Is that just sort of regular ups and downs of training camp? Or is that, maybe part of it because a guy like Terry's not there? Are they trying different things? What do you see?
I think you're right. I think it's probably the ebbs and the flows of training camp. I mean, you guys know that even back when I was on the beat years ago talking to you guys, like oftentimes the defense is going to be ahead of the offense, right? That's just one of those traditional camp storylines. But I could end up being a little too bullish and like walking this back in a little while.
Yeah,
I've actually been really impressed by their secondary. Their corners,
I keep hearing
general,
that.
Marshawn Lattimore looks better than he did last year unequivocally. Now, is he going to be Marshawn Lattimore from New Orleans? I can't say that yet. They just got the pads on for the first time today, and they haven't run 11s. They're basically going through individual and positional work. So we'll see what he looks like when they start thumping a little bit. But I'll tell you who I really like is Trey Amos, the second-year corner. I talked to him for a few minutes yesterday. He's immensely confident. He's long. Like, you want him getting off the bus. He looks like an NFL player. He just looks comfortable. And Jonathan Jones, who they signed from New England, I think, has had a good camp early on as well. He's kind of been splitting some first-team reps. But you look at what they've done at corner. I don't know if it's all going to work because Igbinoghadi, you know, makes the roster or doesn't, having a good camp, is now like the fifth guy. He was the number two, number three at points last year. So there is just a deeper group of players there. And I think that's a big factor, Eric, for why the offense and the passing game has scuffled a little bit. I think some of it has been good corner play, honestly, tight coverage. Like, they've been way, way better. And, man, I was standing next to Logan Paulson on the practice field yesterday. After a couple plays, he's like, you just didn't see reps like that consistently last year.
Talking to Grant Paulson, of course, Grant Danny Show, 2 to 6:30 here on The Fan. Grant, you tweeted about Terry McLaurin. Why hasn't he asked for a trade? Explain why you think it doesn't make any sense that he hasn't asked for a trade.
Well, it's just very rare that anybody holds out in this era, in this new CBA time frame, JP, that you wouldn't come to work because it's so counterproductive. You get fined and have to pay $50,000 a day for not showing up. And the team, at one point in time years ago, could at the end of it kind of forgive you and go, oh, we're not going to make you pay. Well, now in this new CBA, you can't do that. Like, eventually you have to pay the piper unless you add it into your contract to kind of make it a wash on the back end. So he showed back up for a hold-in, which is kind of what I thought he was going to do to begin with. But when I had tweeted that over the weekend, he'd still not shown up. He was accruing $50,000 fines every single day. And my point was, almost nobody does that. Like, the two guys right now that are holding out are McLaurin and Trey Hendrickson, who's called his coach a liar and has called his team a bunch of names this offseason and is, like, tweeting out shtick from Florida. Very, very unhappy. He's asked for a trade. I would be willing to guess that if you go back over the last several years, there's only a handful of guys that have held out. If you're willing to go that far to the end of the earth, kind of scorched earth, so to speak, you also ask for a trade. I think the idea that you would not be at practice holding out to that extent of the, you know, acrimony, but not ask for a trade, that's a really small runway to put a plane down on. So my point is, it's kind of weird to me that he hasn't done both. That's his leverage. He's got two options. Don't show up and ask for a trade. And he's done A but not B. And just in talking to some people around him recently, the idea is there's a time and place for everything, and they don't feel like maybe the time is yet. But I don't know that they spoke – I don't mean this was Terry, but it didn't sound to me like there's no chance that it ever happens, but as of right now, they don't want to use basically that button that would escalate things.
Do you get the sense more than ever that, you know, he may just have to play this season out under the contract and then, you know, deal with it afterwards, whether or not they think about franchising him or he can move on? Like, is it more likely today than it ever has been sort of in our minds? Because we've always just sort of assumed that they would just come to an agreement, reasonable people would come to an agreement, and they would take care of him on some level, and we'd be done with this.
It's definitely more possible with every day that passes. There's no doubt. I still refuse to believe that would be the case, because if he were to play out the season on his contract, number one, you are risking him still not participating in preseason games, right? I would have said if he was just holding out, well, he's got to show up for the preseason because – he's going to get fined $811,000 every time he doesn't play in a preseason game. There's three of them. And in every regular season game, it's almost $1 million fine. He's not going to accrue that. But if he's holding in with this, and I'm going to use air quotes here, foot injury that he's dealing with, you know, this ankle foot thing that he's got that has him on PUP list, well, there's no rush for him to get back. Like, he could stay on that list in perpetuity and just not really feel well, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So he could essentially not play this season if he was serious about it. Now, I don't really think he's that kind of guy, which is where I would say there's a possibility that they just hold their ground, they don't budge, and eventually he begrudgingly shows back up and plays this football season. But as soon as the year starts and he doesn't have a deal, he's gone at the end of the year. I mean, like, the acrimony would be so substantial, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. Think about it like a Nats player that we talk about all the time. Once the offseason begins and you're a free agent to be in a few months, why would you re-sign before going to market? So he's going to hit the market, and someone's going to pay him what Washington hasn't been willing to. So I think they either get this thing done before the end of the preseason, or this is his final year in Washington.
They don't franchise him? You don't see that as a possibility?
Sure, they could do that, but they don't want to pay him right now close to the – 30-plus million-dollar figure that he's asking for. The franchise tag next year is 1 year at $30 million. You could do the Cousins thing if you feel like he's got one good year left or something like
that.
You
just nickel and dime him. You just do it 1 year at a time. Squeeze out whatever you can.
I think there's 1 year where that financially makes sense because it's 120% of your franchise tag number the year before. So he would be up to like the Justin Jefferson money almost the second year. So if they went that route, they would basically be just franchise tagging him and opting into another offseason of turmoil, another offseason where he doesn't show up at camp, another offseason where he shows back up right around week one or the preseason or whatever that is, and his agent's upset and he's doing, you know, promos at Eastern Motors or, you know, Chick-fil-A or wherever he decides to go that time. Is that really worth it? Like, to me, no. I would say it's not, but maybe they decide that they want to do that and tag him for one more year.
Talking to Grant Paulson, GP, we have two polls of the day today, which is very rare. One, I don't want to steal your double play bit, but yay or nay on Happy Gilmore 2?
I was a yay on Happy Gilmore 2.
Okay.
Are people expecting it to be an Academy Award winner? Like, what are people looking for?
No, they shouldn't have been.
Silly cameos left and right. Celebrities all over the joint. It's nostalgia to the highest order. There's some hilarious, like Scottie Scheffler just as an actor is funny to me. The Will Zalatoris bit where he's playing the guy that everyone says he looks like that he choked as his caddy.
It's pretty funny.
There's a lot of really funny things.
Yeah.
All right. And then our other poll today had to do with Mackenzie Gore.
Yeah. Should they trade him? This week.
I would trade him. Yes. I think I'm a minority on this, by the way. I get a lot of Nats fans get upset at me every time I say this. Because I think the assumption is, guys, I don't know what like the feedback you're getting is, but when I say that, they believe that I just want to be the Oakland Athletics or whatever. And they want to just – they think I just want to trade everyone before they become a free agent. And it's not that way. Like, I am working right now every single hour of every single day, if I'm Mike DiBartolo, to re-sign C.J. Abrams for the long term, who's not a Boris-advised player. But Abrams not only is advised by Boris and is going to free agency, but he has always been a guy, just behind the scenes that I've heard. It's not like he doesn't like D.C., but that is not going to be here after this contract, likely.
Yeah,
he's going to go to the market. He's from the South, probably go back to Atlanta or something like that. So if you know internally that you're likely to lose a guy in a couple of years, this is Soto-esque. Mm-hmm. They could get an awesome return for him. They could get a 3 or 4 player package with 1 or 2 really good prospects. They could get a close to the big leagues minor league pitcher who's got a chance to be a number 2 type starter in the right package. He's the only guy they could trade and do really, really well in a return. So, yes, I would absolutely be not just taking calls on him. I would be shopping him. I would be making the calls. Because right now, if you trade him today before the deadline, someone's getting 3 postseasons of him. If you wait till this offseason when they're more likely to trade him, I think, it's only 2 postseasons. So you're getting like a 33% spike in return if you were to move him right now.
I know you tweeted a little bit about whether this was a perpetual rebuild. And it's kind of hard not to feel that way because if you just went back, say, 3 years ago, you would have expected to be in a lot different spot than where you are right now, Grant.
Oh, 1,000%. Yeah, here's why it's in theory, a perpetual rebuild, I guess, to use that phrase, is because they don't spend any money.
Mm-hmm, correct.
So if they don't spend on major league veteran talent, well, then they're never going to be any good. And it nothing matters. Like, you can't not spend and eventually get back to the playoffs. So to me, if they would have had the offseason that everybody was kind of hoping they would have, where they go out and get a legitimate power-hitting outfielder, a decent infielder, and a starting pitcher, I'm not asking them to be the, you know, the Phillies with a $300 million payroll or the Dodgers or something with a $400 million payroll, but just go out and spend money, they would have been a much better baseball team. You know, they were 500 before they cratered in June. They could have been 7-8 games over in a wild card team. I don't even think they're that far away if they have that type of offseason this year. I just don't have any faith that their ownership is going to spend any money.
Correct.
Good stuff, Grant.
Thanks, Grant.
All right, bro.
Thank you, buddy. Appreciate it.
Right.
Stay cool.
See you guys. Were you guys in on Happy Gilmore, by the way?
3 out of 4. I liked it. Jakes liked it. Valdez loved it. Drab hated it.
Yeah. I thought it was fun. It just 2 hours to not do anything. I mean, my kids were like asleep. It was the best thing ever.
All right. Perfect. Exactly.
All right. Thank you, buddy. Appreciate it. Stay cool out there.
See you, boys.
All right, buddy. It's Grant Paulson.
That's our buddy, Grant Paulson from training camp. Maybe we'll get in touch with AWOD a little bit later. He's also there. Don't go anywhere.